Everybody into the pool, okay. Clothing optional, right? All right, anyway. I didn't say that. Cut it from the tape, okay. I forget this goes out all over the country, all over the world. What the hell? Anyway. This morning, instead of just talking about spiritual principles, I want to also talk about our human side. And I like to do that from time to time because, especially in teachings like this one, we forget that we are really human beings in addition to our spirituality. And a lot of us get all caught up in trying to be spiritually perfect and trying to reach some level of mental, emotional, and spiritual perfection that we think we ought to reach in order to become enlightened enough to make our life work perfectly. It's kind of a circular thing we get in. So in order to feel better spiritually, we sometimes criticize our more human desires, quirks, and characteristics. Instead of just enjoying our time here on this marvelous playground that we call planet Earth, a lot of us beat ourselves up for the smallest human mistakes. We consider ourselves less evolved than other people who seem to us to have it all together, even though in a lot of cases their lives are just as complicated or confusing as ours, if not more so. We stop appreciating the little things in life, and worst of all, we frequently commit what I consider to be the greatest sin of all. We neglect our sense of humor. That's the worst to me. One of the things I remember about church when I was growing up was, I was raised Catholic, there wasn't much laughing going on, not during the service. I mean, people would laugh outside in the parking lot, but as soon as they walked into the sanctuary, you know, they would bow their heads. They were very solemn, very quiet. If a child laughed in the sanctuary, in the auditorium, they were shushed very, very quickly. And it was all very serious, you see, because God lived there, and God is a very serious being, you know? I mean, running the universe, fighting the devil, and condemning people to eternal torment is, you know, it's kind of a, it's a very serious business here, okay? At least that's what they seem to think. Then again, there have always been stories, the ones I love, that don't take religion quite so seriously. There's one story I would love to share with you, and it was about a young boy. He and his family were here from India, and they had been here for a number of years, but the young man's grades were slipping, and in that culture, that's totally not acceptable. So his parents decided that they would send him to a Catholic school to get a little bit more discipline than he was getting at the public school, even though they were Hindu and they didn't know anything about Catholicism. So the boy came home after the first day of school, and much to his parents' surprise, he raced into his room, upstairs to his room, and he immediately started doing his homework. Now, his parents were a little surprised by this rapid transformation, so they slowly walked up the stairs and went in his room, and he was studying away. He had out his books and everything, and they said, "Well, how was your first day?" And he said, "You know, at first I thought it'd be easy to slide by because everybody was giving me the benefit of the doubt, but when I walked into math class and saw that image of a guy nailed to a plus sign, I knew they meant business." You know, okay, now, humor is an important part of our humanity. So it should be an important part of our spirituality, too. Even though religious leaders for many years in almost every religion in the West in particular have been talking mostly about sin and salvation and resisting temptation, none of which is particularly humorous. Now, like a lot of you, when I was young, I never resonated with that negative, serious kind of thinking. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things I love about this place. When I started coming here in 1986, and I've been coming here nonstop ever since, from the first day that I came in here, I loved the idea that we laughed during the service. We applauded. You know, we were irreverent. I love that idea. We were not afraid to enjoy ourselves out loud. Because one thing I believe about God, and I'm sure you agree, is that it has to have a great sense of humor. Now, some people who came here from the Baptists or the Catholics or especially the Presbyterians, you know, they forget this, and they had a little trouble with that idea when they came here. They liked the stuff we were talking about, but they had a little bit of trouble laughing. But once they started realizing how good it made them feel to actually be laughing, not just in the presence of God, but as the presence of God, they loved it. They loved it, either that or they left. within two or three services, which was fine with me because if you don't want to laugh here, it's probably not going to help you out. Now, many years ago, Aristotle, one of the great thinkers of all time, said that happiness is the meaning and the purpose of life, the whole aim and end of human existence. The whole aim and end of human existence is happiness, he said, and I believe that's true. I also believe that most people want to believe that it's true. But there was another man a number of years later by the name of Samuel Butler who also pointed out that all animals except man know that the principal business of life is to enjoy it. Isn't that interesting? The animals got it figured out. The human beings, not so much, okay? Now, that's why we have cats and dogs around. They make us smile. You know, the animals understand the joy of life is what's important. Even if we believe that happiness is the most important reason for us to be here, a lot of people, including some of us, still find all sorts of reasons not to be happy on a regular basis. Now, a lot of that comes from our upbringing, obviously, the way we were raised. Maybe we got the impression early on in our life that we weren't supposed to be happy all the time because most of the people we saw around us didn't seem to be happy any of the time. When we saw something that we thought was funny, you know, this human urge we have to simply laugh at something that's humorous, we learned to wait until someone else laughed first. Even if we felt so happy and just uproarious, ready to laugh, like we were ready to explode, we were afraid to tell someone else what we thought was funny because we were afraid that someone around us would tell us something that would make us unhappy again. And there was no shortage of people willing to do that. Now, we all started out happy as children. I talked about that two or three weeks ago in one of the talks. But all of the fears that have been dumped on us by society and our teachers and our religions, all these things, did a lot to put a damper on our enthusiasm for life. And as a result, even if we have learned during our later years to be fairly positive in our outlook, most of us are still a lot more serious about life than we need to be. And it's this tendency to take all of life seriously that gets in the way of enjoying what we call our human experience. I mean, think about it. Everything that we worry about, everything that we are afraid of, every obstacle that we run into in our life that appears to be insurmountable, all of these things take center stage for us and grab all of our attention simply because we take them seriously. And the reason that we take them so seriously, and this is a very important thing to understand in our spiritual growth, the reason that we take all these things so seriously is because we believe more in the power of those things than we believe in the power of life or the power of God to overcome them. We believe more in that than we do in this power that we are an expression of. So if we can't fix something in our life or we feel like we're powerless, we just say to ourselves, oh, well, I'm only human, and we leave it at that. That's what makes it so hard for us to see a solution. What we need to start realizing is that our happiness is not a function of what happens to us in life. It's a function of our conscious decision to be happy in spite of what is going on in our life. We read this all the time in all of the books that we read about metaphysics. And that requires us to not only accept, but to celebrate our humanity with all its glorious ups and its dramatic downs. Because if we don't, we're going to end up living our life in terms of limitations rather than opportunities. I've got a cartoon on my special board, my special little bulletin board that I keep in my office. And it's this guy who is, I can't remember the context, but what he basically says is, why can't my successes be as spectacular as my failures? All right? Because that's where he's putting this power. You see, we are here in this form, which is a physical human form, and with all the associated body parts and the brain functions and the sensory inputs that we have, all of these things, all of the stuff that's part of our physical human form, we are here like this because this is the way that life has chosen to interact with the physical world, to create physical things from what we might call the world of spirit, which is simply the invisible and infinite fountain of ideas that comes through us and works as us, waiting to be made manifest. This is the vehicle that life has actually chosen. So when we begin to understand that we really are made in the image and the likeness of God, mentally, and spiritually, then we can actually begin to enjoy our human experience by looking at it from a spiritual perspective. For example, we may worry about how much money we have or don't have. We're talking about prosperity this month, because we may believe or have been taught to believe that we have been taught not to believe that this is a universe of abundance, or because we believe it's an abundant universe, but we don't believe in our own power to attract it. And that's not a fun way to look at our life. But when we consciously decide to feel happy and joyful and enthusiastic and grateful about everything we do have and everything that we are still capable of doing, and we're all able to do that, then we open the flow, like Peter's song, that brilliant song he just played, was singing about. We open the flow to us, through us, and become part of that flow, and we open it to the point where we start to attract more of the things that we desire, and desire is a part of our humanity. We open ourselves to greater possibilities, and we start to become more creative, the ideas flow, and we start to get excited about all the things that we could be doing, and that's when prosperity and everything else good starts flowing in. And as a result, if we were down in the dumps, whatever, which is a human experience, we all get that way from time to time, then we start enjoying life again, not just because more money is there in this case, but because we actually feel excited to be fulfilling some of our perfectly natural human desires. Now, this is not just true about money. Money's probably the easiest example of all. This is also true about love. It's true about the kind of work that we choose to do. It's even true about our physical body. As human beings, we think about things like the way we look and the way we feel. We enjoy touching one another. Boy, do we enjoy touching one another as human beings. We like to feel pleasure, okay? We like good food. We like massage. We like, you know, beautiful music, all these different physical experiences. But if we are constantly complaining or worrying about what we look like, what our body is doing as it gets older, about an illness we're experiencing, or about not having someone to hold us or to sleep with us, instead of being grateful and happy about the life and the health and the love that's available to us now, if we focus on the negative and not the positive, it makes it harder to improve our present experience. The point is, having fun and being happy about the life that we have and the people in it is always an inside job. And our human desires create a vacuum that draws that creativity out. That's how we create it, and that's how we need to enjoy it. On the other hand, there are a lot of people in the world leading very miserable lives in the constant pursuit of happiness. Because the Constitution says, you know, pursuit of happiness is a right, so by God, I'm going to pursue it if it kills me. There are people who have that idea. But it's only when we stop pursuing happiness in the outer world and start creating it out of what we already have that we are actually able to find it. For a lot of people, looking for happiness is like looking for your glasses when they're sitting on your nose. You know, it's right there, but they just can't see it because they're looking through it instead of understanding it. You know, once we have it, happiness, that feeling, that human joy of living, once we have it inside, we start to realize that nothing, and I mean nothing, out there is necessary for us to enjoy life, for us to have fun wherever we go, whatever we do, and whomever we're with. That's why Emerson, one of my favorite writers, he said, "Nothing can bring you peace but yourself." Very simple, straightforward. Nothing can bring you or me peace but ourselves. So if we aren't enjoying our life, and nobody can tell you that but you, all right, if we aren't having fun, we may need to ask ourselves what would have to change for that to happen. If we are miserable at work, for example, if we're angry or resentful or unfulfilled in our relationships, if we don't have friends, if we aren't getting along with our family, whatever it is, we can try asking ourselves this one simple but very profound question. And here's the question. How would I be doing this differently if I were willing to let it be fun? How would I be working differently? How would I be with my family differently? How would I be with my partner differently if I were willing to let it be fun? You see, struggling against the feelings, trying to change other people, trying to make things conform to the way that we think that they should be, is not only not fun, it's actually exhausting. It's absolutely exhausting because it uses up a lot of the energy that we could be using to be more creative, to be more loving, even to laugh at how difficult we're making things when they don't really need to be all that difficult. If we could learn to start laughing at our human problems, if we could learn to laugh at ourselves when we are being dramatic, we just might be able to move beyond our self-criticism and our self-righteousness that we're caught up in and our fear into a place of peace and confidence and trust in a power greater than we are that we can use, that we have been designed to use in order to create a better experience. Now, it's easy to see that we humans are extremely insecure. Everybody is. We all know that. It's part of what we are. When we spend a lot of our time insecure, worrying about all these things, about our business, our health, all that other stuff, if we keep seeing risks and danger in all of these things, then we're actually looking at ourselves in a limited way. We're not giving ourselves credit for being spiritually powerful beings who can't be harmed by anyone or anything without our consent. In other words, when we take ourselves too seriously, we end up taking everything else too seriously, and that's when we forget how much fun our life is supposed to be. Each and every situation that we encounter, every relationship, every opportunity to create something new is meant to be filled, completely filled to overflowing with the joy of living. Now, think of this in terms of how we actually create the things in our life, okay? Of how the creative power of life works through us and as us. We are always giving off some kind of energy. There are different disciplines, New Thought, New Age stuff that talk about it in different ways, but we are always giving off some sort of energy or vibration because we are always expressing consciousness in a way that reflects our thoughts and beliefs. In fact, the scientists tell us that every single cell of our body all the time is vibrating. Not just our spirit, like the metaphysicians tell us, but the scientists say every cell of our body is vibrating with intelligence. And the people and the things that are around us, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, respond to what we are putting out consciously or unconsciously. Get this? Whether we are putting it out consciously or unconsciously, they are responding either consciously or unconsciously. So that's how it's weaving around. So if we have an underlying attitude where we are negative or cynical or angry or unhappy or afraid or all these human things that we fall into, then that's the kind of people and experiences that we're going to attract. And all of the wonderful, happy, joyful human beings that we want to have and those experiences that we could share with them will all simply slide away from us and we'll find ourselves in the middle of a life experience that we probably won't enjoy. And that's when we stop having fun. Of course, I know people and you know people who prefer it that way, okay? They like to suffer. They prefer to be miserable. There are people who like to compete with other people around them about whose life is the worst or the hardest. You ever talk to someone like that? Let them win, okay, when you talk to them. It's a great idea. Let them win. If they want to convince you that their life is worse than yours, give it to them, okay? But there are people who feel powerful when they can go around and spread gloom and doom whenever they go, busting other people's balloons. But the truth is, they aren't spreading unhappiness. They're just wading through the garbage that they create for themselves, and we have all seen that. People who really enjoy life, who are centered in this and enjoy both their spiritual and their human experience, are not affected by people like that at all. And that's what we should want to be. There's an author, a writer by the name of Anthony DeMello. Many of you have his books. They're the little books. They're really good. But he says we can actually get to the point where we are so grounded in living joyfully that other people's unhappiness can't touch us. And he's got a great metaphor. I love it. He says we can be like air. You know, you can take a can of black paint and throw it up in the air, and it comes down, and the air is not affected at all. It doesn't matter how much paint you throw up there, the air never turns black or gray or even dirty. You know, it's a great metaphor. One of the wonderful things about being a human being is this ability we have to let those things go and to enjoy ourselves in a wide variety of physical and spiritual ways. And enjoying ourselves affects us not only mentally and emotionally, it makes us healthier physically. Having fun, enjoying the human pleasures of life in whatever healthy way that appears for us, and there are unhealthy ways to have fun, we know, which in the long run doesn't end up being much fun, but it is a healing experience. And it heals us because it is a conscious expression of the joy of life being applied freely to any person who demands it, who demands that joy. So if we want to produce better results in any area of our life, all that we really need to do is to step back and look for the humanity and the humor in it, okay? Don't go looking for these highfalutin spiritual things. That'll take care of itself. The humanity and the humor is always there. When we try to solve a problem in our life because we see it as something serious that has to be handled, we get fixated on it. And when we get fixated on it, in effect, we become the problem. And once we become the problem, it's all we talk about, it's all we think about, it becomes very, very difficult to find a way out. But if we can walk away from it for a few hours and allow ourselves to relax and to play and to laugh a little bit at something completely unrelated to the thing bothering us, very often our perspective changes about the original problem, because we open ourselves up, our human self, up to the spiritual qualities of inspiration and intuition. Inspiration and intuition. And we start to get excited about finding a playful alternative to whatever's going on in our life instead of worrying about what might happen if we don't find a solution. I mean, it's amazing when you think about it what laughter and humor can do for both our body and our attitude. Laughter makes us more human, and it makes us more powerful. A lot of you know the story of Norman Cousins. He was the editor of the Saturday Review in the 50s and 60s. He wrote a book called Anatomy of an Illness. I've referred to it a few times before. He was a man in his 40s, 50s, and he was diagnosed with a terminal illness, deterioration of the spine. The doctor said there wasn't a thing they could do about it. So the first thing he did is he got himself out of the hospital as soon as possible. You know why? Because hospitals have sick people in them, and he didn't want to be sick. So he got out of the hospital, and once again, take this for what it was. And he had himself put in a hotel room with his family. He took massive amounts of vitamin C. That's one side of it. But the really interesting thing he did is he got a reel-to-reel projector. That was the science at the time in the 50s and the 60s. And he got all these things of Jack Benny and the Three Stooges and Abbott and Costello, all those people. We think of them as old comedians, but at the time, they were the current comedians. And he played them over and over again so he would laugh constantly. Not only did he heal, he lived another 40 years. He lived into his 90s. All right, it's a great example. This human form that we inhabit is incredibly resilient and amazingly responsive. It has been designed that way. And it responds better the happier we are. I mean, in surgery, if you talk to your doctors, they may not tell you, but if you do the research, people with positive attitudes going in have higher survival rates. Researchers also found that laughter changes our body chemistry. Do you know that the chemical makeup of tears of laughter are different from the chemical makeup of tears of grief? Totally different chemical. Our body reacts that way. We could probably even go so far as to say that laughter is our most sacred form of human expression. There's an ancient Chinese proverb that says, "Time spent laughing is time spent with the gods." And I thought that was great. I think what they mean is, this is the way I interpret it, time spent laughing is the closest to our God self that we will ever get, especially when we're laughing with people we love. Now, in our intimate relationships, our lovers, our partners, our children, our parents, but the closest relationships, which are, without a doubt, one of the greatest of our human pleasures, psychologists tell us that couples who laugh together a lot argue less, they make love more, and they have a lower rate of divorce and separation. I mean, it makes perfect sense, because we can't laugh and be angry at the same time. So when we stop taking ourselves and our problems so seriously, we stop keeping score of who's right and who's wrong. We can stop waiting for the other shoe to drop when things are going well. We can start looking at the fun periods in our relationship as the norm rather than the exception. And we can enjoy the present, being with the people we love, instead of worrying so much about our future. There's a part of our serious grown-up nature that feels that we have to earn the right to have fun. A lot of people have been telling us this. That's why when we go on vacation, we keep thinking in the back of our mind, we're going to pay for it when we get home, both literally and figuratively, okay? You know, in order to have a good time on Saturday night, you're going to have to hurt on Sunday morning. There are people who believe that. The more we enjoy being with someone, the less likely it is to last. It's all this too good to be true kind of mentality. The confusion that we feel over whether or not we are entitled to have fun or whether or not we deserve to enjoy ourselves, it comes from a misunderstanding about what play really is. It comes from that old idea that if our human body is enjoying something, it must be a sin, okay? That's the old idea. And eventually we're going to get punished, okay? That's what was drilled into my head as a child. But if we play and we participate with others sharing our human experience in a way that uses our minds and our talents and our human form in a loving, connective, joyful way, we're going to know it. We're going to be able to feel it. Because after we do it, we will feel energized and creative and more satisfied with ourselves and our life. So we don't have to choose between being human or being spiritual. We don't have to choose between being playful and being productive. We don't have to choose between being happy and being healthy. We don't have to choose between having fun and making money. Every single bit of this human experience has the potential to be fun. That is both our human destiny and our spiritual birthright. Our spiritual birthright. If we're trying to force anything in our life and it still isn't working, then forcing it harder probably isn't going to help. If being serious about what we're doing is making us cranky and putting lines on our face without making us happier, then maybe it's time to stop being so serious. Maybe it's time to let go of doing everything so perfectly, to laugh at ourselves a little bit, and to start looking at everything we do from a more human perspective. If something in our life is fun, we should do more of it. If it is not, do less. How hard is that to figure out, okay? Okay? Because there's a lot of sadness in the world. There is. And the best way to change that situation, all the sadness that we read about in the world, is for every single one of us with any spiritual good sense to contribute as much as we can, all of the love, all of the laughter, and all of the joy to the world that we can everywhere we are in everything we do all the time. All the time. Because that is going to make all the difference. But even if it doesn't, we're going to have a lot more fun doing it. And this is the truth in your life. And this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Let's take a breath or two. Just relax for a moment. Roll your shoulders around a little bit. Let's just share this gift of our own inner awareness of where our mind and our thoughts are. Take the ideas that resonated with you. This is what I know. I know that this incredible experience that I have every single day of waking up in the morning, seeing the world, knowing myself, knowing others, this experience is an amazing, amazing experience. It is spiritual, but it is also my human experience. And the two of those things are one. They are merged. There is no separation. There is no difference. But I recognize that as I go through life, as I feel the water running over me with a beautiful warm shower, as I taste a delicious cup of coffee or tea or my breakfast, as I drive to work, loving my car, seeing the beautiful scenery, and going to the office and laugh and tell jokes with friends, as I receive a paycheck and value return for the work that I am putting, the gifts I am putting into the world, as I eat dinner with friends, as I lie down on a soft bed with my pet next to me or my best friend next to me, and go to sleep into a deep, blissful sleep, that all of these human experiences are what make life worth living, every single one of them. So I open myself to these experiences. I start to become more self-aware of when I am in the midst of a beautiful experience. I start to become more grateful for all the experiences that happen to me and around me. I begin to share my positive outlook with other people. I begin to laugh and smile with my friends as they tell me the wonderful things in their life. That is how I choose to relate to the world. I no longer worry about the news. I no longer worry about the suffering, but I do what I can to not contribute to it, to contribute feelings of love, joy, and peace, and to let the rest slide. So I invite you to take a few moments now in the silence of your own heart and mind. And in that silence, I invite you to look within yourself and simply recognize whether you are having fun in your life. And in whatever area of your life you may not be, simply state your intent to yourself that you are now ready to begin creating a much more enjoyable experience in that area of your life. Take these moments for yourself. With gratitude for this awareness and a clear understanding of its sacred significance in our life, we accept this truth as our own. We accept the joy of living. We accept the beauty that comes from the people we love, from every person. And we look beyond the sadness and the pain to see the greater truth in everything we do. We are grateful for all that we have been given and for all that we are yet to give. Knowing this truth, we accept this, we commit to it. This is our life from this moment on, and we release it into consciousness, knowing that it is so. And so it is.